Hi, I'm Mark Budd.
And I'm Jair Brooks Davis.
And we're from Mark and Jair Explain Sports.
This is a tripod production.
The following is a tripod production. Do not attempt to adjust your dial. Mark Budd and Jair Brooks Davis, two friends growing up in the Big Apple, two friends who became sports writers at the top of their craft. Mark, the assistant sports editor of Drexel University's The Triangle. Jair, the color commentator and reporter at Curry College. On their own, they give their own unique insights. However, together, Mark and Jair explain sports.
All right, good afternoon, Jair. Episode 2 of Season 2. How are you doing, man? We obviously have a lot more excitement surrounding the sports world. Even this weekend, we got to see your Mets play the Yankees, and it felt great to be watching sports for the first time in what feels like years.
Well, Mark, I'm excited. Today, the NBA is going to start opening day. Well, the NBA is going to start scrimmages today. Tomorrow, it's going to be opening day for Major League Baseball. The NHL should be coming back soon. And, you know, it's a really interesting time. And, you know, me also, I was watching the Yankees and Mets scrimmages. You know, I think that they need to fix some things going on with the offense and even the bullpen, and especially the defense.
Yeah. Besides like the actual play on the field, the Yankees, I don't know what they were doing, but they definitely need to fix like their ambiance and like what they're doing to like make the game more excited because there's no fans. Like the Mets, for example, I think they did a good job. Like the cutouts in the outfield is funny to look at, and behind home plate, and they did a lot of music and crowd noise. And the Yankees, on the other hand, all you could see is empty seats in the background. There wasn't much crowd noise. And they, like you mentioned to me the other day, they were playing crowd noise when they made a mistake, which was weird. And even the Mets announcers commented on it. So, yeah, the Yankees – well, but at the same time, the Yankees dominated most of the games against the Mets, and they won both games. So they're doing something right. And between the ambiance or playing well on the field, I'll take them playing well on the field. The Mets, on the other hand, I don't know what they're doing on the field.
Well, I'm in agreement with you on that, Mark. You know, the Yankees are 2-0-1 within their past three games. They beat the Mets both times at City and at Yankee Stadium. And then they tied against the Phillies at Yankee Stadium. So, you know, the Yankees have something good going. You know, they're heading south to Washington, D.C., not too far south, but they're heading to, you know, Washington, D.C., which is south of New York. But, you know, it's going to be interesting. They're going to start the new free agent signee, Gerrit Cole, going up against Madison Bumgarner, Max Scherzer, tomorrow night on ESPN. And it's going to be a World Series rematch between those two individuals, that is.
It's really exciting that sports are actually coming back. I actually didn't think that it was actually going to happen because, well, obviously it's still bad. The pandemic is still going on. I mean, it's not terrible where we live in New York, but it was at one point. But it actually moved on to other states like Florida. So it's kind of crazy to know that this is all going on, but we're also sports are going to be able to be played. But the hope is that there isn't a widespread in the leagues. But as the NBA bubble, yesterday was reported that there were actually positive coronavirus test results. So that's really good. And if that continues to trend, then I don't see why every league won't finish out their season. The only one I'm skeptical about is the NFL, because there's so many guys and they're not going to be in a bubble. So, but we'll talk about later how the NFL is planning to put together a plan for the season with the pandemic going on after this weekend, where multiple players said they want to play but criticized the NFL for not having a plan, which is crazy to think that they don't have a plan after having 3 months to come up with something when no one was doing anything during quarantine. But before we get into that, what do you think about so what are your predictions for who's going to win in their own divisions in baseball? with only a 60-game season?
Well, Mark,
we could start with the AL East.
The AL East, I am going to have to go with the New York Yankees. My second, if I had to choose a second team, I would probably be going with the Tampa Bay Rays. I think that the Yankees have a good shot because, hey, look, you know, they won the East last year. And they've been a pretty hot team for the past few years. I remember in 2017, I remember when they were down 0-2 to the Cleveland Indians, and then they took the eventual winning or supposedly winning Houston Astros to 7 games in the American League Championship Series. And in 2018, they had a bit of a turn, like, for the worse, especially going up against the Boston Red Sox. And last year, they could have gone to 7 games against the Houston Astros. But, you know, maybe Jose Altuve did have a buzzer underneath his jersey. So I have to choose the Yankees on this one. And I think that they have a lot of vengeance, especially for how their seasons have ended over the past few years. And also, adding Gerrit Cole is definitely great. And James Paxton is supposed to be coming back. They're hurt with the loss of Luis Severino, but I think that they could find a way. And especially with that offense and playing in Yankee Stadium.
Definitely.
The AL Central, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the AL Central, I'm going to go with the Minnesota Twins. They won 101 games last year. And they added Josh Donaldson to an already star-studded lineup. So I don't think there's much debate there. But team that could make the playoffs as a wild card team, though, I could see the White Sox emerging and being better than the Indians this year.
I could see that, too. They also have Dallas Keuchel still on the team. And Tim Anderson, he's interesting.
A hothead. I love it.
Yeah, I like Tim Anderson. And, you know, I could see the White Sox being a sleeper in most.
The White Sox also have, you know, as many of you might not know, but me and Jair are actually in a fantasy baseball league where it's starting this year. And I have Lewis Robert on my team, who's the White Sox top prospect. So I'd like to think that he's going to do well. Yeah. You know.
As for the AL Central, Mark, who do you see coming out of the AL West? Out of the AL West, who do you see coming out of the AL West?
I really hate them, but I'm going to have to go with the Astros, even though they cheat. We'll see how good they are without cheating this year. And not to mention, I don't know if you saw, but yesterday, 3 players on the Astros got hit yesterday in the scrimmage, which is awesome. That's already occurring.
Well, hey, look, I have to pick the Houston Astros. And I'll be honest with you, folks. I rooted for the Houston Astros back in 2017. Also, 2019 last year, I did root for them. But still, congratulations to the Washington Nationals. And, I have to pick the Houston Astros to win the AL West. If there was any other team that I think could go up against them, I would actually pick the Oakland Athletics. And the Oakland Athletics could actually be a wild card team, and they could play a team like the Indians or the White Sox in the wild card.
Now, moving on, Jair, your favorite division, the NL East. Who are you going to choose?
Well, this one's a tough one for me, Mark. The Washington Nationals lost Anthony Rendon. They do have Starlin Castro on that infield, but with the loss of Rendon, I say it brings them down a slight bit. The Philadelphia Phillies are a team to me that are very dangerous. And also the Mets, if the Mets play at full potential and not like how they played against the Yankees, it could be between 4 teams and, you know, also the Atlanta Braves. That one is going to be a toss-up for me. I wouldn't be surprised if the Phillies came out of it, the Mets came out of it. That's a tough question for me to answer, Mark.
Yeah, if I had to choose, I mean, I might be being biased, but I'm going to go with the Phillies. I think with the new coach, Joe Girardi, they're going to be much better than last year. And they also added my boy, D.D. Gregorius, who can hit really well and is a great fielder. So, and the addition of Zach Wheeler, assuming he plays. I know he was debating whether or not, but he did pitch
in one of the exhibition games. So I'm assuming he's going to play. So I'm going to go with the Phillies. And then what do you think about the NL Central?
The NL Central, I can see the Milwaukee Brewers coming out of there, especially with their success over the past couple of years. Also, if I have to pick a potential set, well, also that division is very tough because they also have the Chicago Cubs, who still have some talent there, and also the St. Louis Cardinals. The St. Louis Cardinals, they always find a way to be successful.
They do. And not to mention that the Cincinnati Reds had a few additions in the offseason, Mike Moustakas and Nick Castellanos. So
Nick Castellanos.
Thank you, Jair. And then, so I think they're going to be good. And then the last division, the NL West, I don't think there's any debate on this one. It's obviously going to be the Dodgers. And not to mention today, Mookie Betts is reportedly finalizing a 13-year contract worth at least $380 million. What do you think about that, Jair?
Well, Mark, it's good for him to get his money. I'm personally not a fan of big, long contracts that are like 10 years, 12 years. But I think that it's good for him. And I think that it's going to be good for the Dodgers to have an outfield that features Mookie Betts and Cody Bellinger. I'm still very pissed off that the Mets didn't sign. That the Mets didn't draft Cody Bellinger when they should have. But it's going to be very good for them.
Speaking of the Mets, Jair, what are your thoughts of the – I know that the Will Pons, the current owners of the Mets, want to sell the team, and there's three different bidders. It's Steve Cohen, who almost bought the team earlier this year, but then negotiations, broke off. Then there's the owners of the Sixers, led by Harris and Blitzer. And then there's another group consisting of Alex Rodriguez and J-Lo. And there was a report today that if A-Rod's group won the bidding, he would essentially become the CEO of the Mets, which is kind of what Derek Jeter is for the Marlins. What are your thoughts on that, Jair?
Go Steve Cohen, go.
No, I don't agree. I heard Steve Cohen is not a nice guy, and there's a whole article about him with harassment claims in his workplace. I don't know if that's a good move, to be honest.
Well, I mean, that I disagree with about Steve Cohen, and I can understand that perspective. You know,
what do you mean you disagree?
I disagree. I'm saying that as in I disagree. With potential things that he could have done.
Yeah. But.
But I do know people that have spoken to Steve Cohen, and they don't have great reviews of him.
Me too.
Yeah.
But A-Rod, besides the steroid saga, he's kind of reinvented himself. He's dating J-Lo. They're a power couple. He's
dating Cameron Diaz.
Well, no, but now it's him and J-Lo, and now he's an ESPN announcer. He's on TV all the time. I feel like his public image is definitely positive, way more than it was when he was on the Yankees. He was kind of hated. Well, he was hated. And I liked him, but that wasn't a popular opinion. But I do think that if A-Rod becomes a CEO, he's obviously a baseball mind. I don't think that's the worst idea.
I don't think it's the worst idea, Mark. He's been around the game. The only thing that scares me is that I hope he doesn't pull anything like a Derek Jeter, like giving away Jeff McNeil or J.D. Davis.
Trading Christian Yelich.
Jacob DeGrom. I mean, you said getting Christian Yelich?
I said Derek Jeter traded Christian Yelich.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I just hope he doesn't pull something like Derek.
Although the Marlins right now have one of the top farm systems, so maybe he's not doing that bad of a job.
Yeah, but the Mets are in a situation – but, I mean, the Marlins were – I mean, the Marlins only made the playoffs twice, as far as I can remember, and both of those times were in 97 and 2003, the years that they won World Series. The Mets have been around for a long, long time, and they both had the same amount of championships. But anyways, though, What I'm just trying to say is that it's really good. It's just
bad for the Mets. That,
it's bad for the Mets. All I'm just trying to say about the situation of like trading away like their top players is like the Mets are in a situation where they can contend. The Mets are in a situation where they can contend. They have Michael Conforto, obviously Pete Alonso, rookie of the year last year, two-time Cy Young Award winner Jacob DeGrom, and Marcus Stroman is an all-star. So I think that the Mets need to try to keep themselves in a win-now situation.
I think that would be exciting if A-Rod becomes the CEO.
Hey, look.
I don't know how much you're going to like it, but...
You know what, actually, I take A-Rod over the Wilpons.
So would I. But moving on from baseball.
Wait, one more thing about baseball. What do you think?
Let's talk about
the NBA bubble?
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think about the NBA bubble? Or what were you going to say about baseball?
I was just going to say, what do you think about the Blue Jays moving to PNC Park?
The Blue Jays moving to PNC Park, it's the same thing with the NFL and the coronavirus plan. They've had 3 months to do this, and they still didn't finalize it until, like, Monday, I think. Well, they still haven't completely finished it, but they're going to play in Pirates Park for the most part. But they should have had this plan, guys, in Pittsburgh already instead of now going. Because Toronto, Canada is not messing around with the coronavirus pandemic, so there's no way they were going to be able to play in Toronto.
That's just what I wanted to know. I just think that they should have had this plan figured out a long time ago.
Moving on, let's talk about the NBA bubble. From all the Instagram stories, the posts on the NBA Instagram and the players themselves, it looks like a lot of fun. It looks like summer camp for these guys. They're golfing, they're shotgunning beers, they're going on water slides, they're all hanging out with each other. I mean, there's a lot worse you could be doing right now.
I mean, Mark, I was looking at Matisse Thybulle's his vlog, along with JaVale McGee. Like, I would not mind being in an NBA bubble right now as a journalist.
Well, forget being a journalist, just in general, it just looks like fun, and like, especially for the players. I know some guys were complaining, but I don't think there is any reason to complain, because it just looks like, with everything that's going on, the NBA is doing the best possible way to have the players enjoy themselves and play basketball. I think that's what they're doing with this bubble. And Stephen Adams on the Thunder, he had a quote the other day saying, "I don't know why guys are complaining. We're on a resort. It's not like we're in Syria." So I was like, wow. Yeah, put it into a deep perspective. But now I know that they're updating the food, because guys were complaining about the food, but I know that now they're bringing restaurants over. But the funniest thing about the whole bubble is the whole snitching line. Guys are getting in trouble, and so I know a guy, Bruno Caballo, I think his name is, on the
Bacciolo. So I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, on the Rockets, he had to go into quarantine for 10 days because he was picking up a Postmates order, and he went across the line where you're not supposed to leave the bubble, and he left the bubble, so now he has to pay the price. But also, Dwight Howard said he got snitched on. Everyone thinks it's Chris Paul who's doing the snitching, but it's actually funny that the snitch line exists, because guys might use it as an advantage, especially come playoff time. Like, if LeBron is doing something that he shouldn't be, I don't see why a guy on another team who is playing in that playoff series would snitch on him so he doesn't play. I think that'd be very interesting to see what happens.
It would honestly be really funny. This is actually hilarious to me.
The NBA bubble so far is working out perfectly. As you saw, as I mentioned earlier, there were zero positive corona tests results so far with all the guys in the bubble. So Adam Silver's doing a good job.
I think he is also when it comes down to Dwight Howard, I know people brought this up and I see the perspectives about it. He said, I think that Dwight Howard or someone said that they don't understand why everyone needs to wear a mask. especially if everyone already tested positive. I see that perspective, but at the same time, I just think that in general, people should just be wearing masks.
I agree, but at the same time, if they're getting tested as much as they are and they're going to be playing with each other on the court, I don't know why they can't hang out with each other without a mask if they're inside the bubble.
But at the same time, though, you could think about it in the sense of when they're on the court, are they all going to be wearing masks at the same time, though?
So when they're on the court, they're not wearing masks.
Exactly. So that's why.
What's the difference in that and playing ping pong with each other without a mask? I guess it's working, but I see why the players are like, well, why do we have to wear a mask if we don't have to wear a mask when we play?
Yeah. It makes sense. But I mean, at the same time, you got to think about some of the workers that could be like helping out the day-to-day process down there in Orlando. They could be going home to their families and everything like that.
So as far as all the teams in the bubble, who are you most excited to watch?
I'm excited to watch the Clippers.
Okay.
Because Kawhi Leonard has had months to rehabilitate. He's had months to get over his injuries, load management and everything like that. I don't want to – if I hear anything like Kawhi needs load management right now, I would honestly flip out.
Because you – well, I completely agree with that one. But I could see Kawhi not being happy if he has to play more than like 30 minutes a game, especially if he doesn't sit out any games, which is ridiculous because he's had so much time. But I think he really goes by his philosophy that he needs to rest to be completely healthy for the playoffs.
Mark, he's had months to rest. Like, when was, like, the last game was March. It was March. We're in July. We're about to go into.
I agree with you. I'm just saying I could see it happening still somewhat.
Yeah, no, I can see it happening. I wouldn't be too surprised, but if he does do it, I would be like, really? Really? I completely disagree with
that. You think the Clippers are the most exciting team for you to watch? I think the Lakers are going to be the most – that's who I'm most interested in watching because they have guys like J.R. Smith on the roster now, Deion Waiters, and I'm very curious to see how they mesh with the team that was playing before the pandemic occurred because the Lakers looked like a clear favorite to win it all. So I'm curious to see – if they're going to still have all that swag that they had before the pandemic.
I'm
curious to see how LeBron's going to be. I'm assuming he's going to be just as dominant.
Well, the Lakers technically still have, like, one true point guard on the roster. Who do you – could you see JR – I mean, I'm talking about Quinn Cook. Well, I mean active right now because Rajon Rondo is injured.
Mm-hmm. Well, LeBron pretty much plays point guard, though.
Yeah, that's something – do you think – well – do you see J.R. Smith coming off the bench or starting for now?
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if he started because he has so much chemistry with LeBron from the years in Cleveland, minus when he forgot what the score was and decided not to do a wide-open layup and lose the game. But that's besides the point. As long as he doesn't do that, I think that LeBron will want him in the starting lineup because of the familiarity they have with each other. But I'm curious to see what Deion Waiters is going to look like. But, yeah, for me, it's definitely the Lakers that are going to be the most exciting team. But moving on, Jair. So the NFL, over the weekend, there were a bunch of players saying, we want to play, but they were frustrated with how the NFL is going about setting up a exact plan for how they're going to have the season and the training camp with the whole pandemic going on. And I mentioned before, like, why isn't this done already? They've had so much time. It's kind of ridiculous that someone like the NFL who has billions of dollars and thousands of employees can't get a plan done. Like, that's crazy. Especially considering that there was 2+ months of quarantine, even longer. That you couldn't have some sort of plan. And that just shows how good of a job Adam Silver is doing with this whole bubble. Because the NFL, well, while it was announced that they did agree, yesterday was announced that they did agree to eliminate the preseason, and they reached a deal that for at least the first 2 weeks of training camp, players will get tested every single day, and that the results will come back within 24 hours. At the same end, so training camp is scheduled to come back the 28th. Do you think that they are going to start on time, Jair?
That's a tough question for me to answer with full-on accuracy. I could see, I think probably they would start on time, but at the same time, if they don't start on time, I wouldn't be too surprised.
Yeah. And another thing that's shocking to me is that they haven't even figured out a whole plan yet for the season. But today it was announced that Atlanta Falcons announced that they will be allowing between 10,000 and 20,000 fans in the stadium for regular season games, with everyone having to wear a mask. But that's crazy to me, considering that Philadelphia banned all sporting events, banned all fans at sporting events until at least 2021.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the south of the United States, places like Texas and Florida, I've heard Georgia, with places like over there having so many COVID-19 infections, I don't understand why you would allow people into the stands even with masks on.
I mean, hey, if it works, kudos to them, but it's definitely a risky move that Atlanta's doing, considering, like I said, like Philadelphia has already banned fans from being at large gatherings until at least March 2021. So today there was news of Mookie Betts signing his 13-year contract, and then there's also news of the Jets owner, Woody Johnson, being investigated for alleged sexist and racist comments, as he currently serves as he's part of the Trump administration and he's the ambassador to the United Kingdom. So what do you think of that? And Jamal Adams tweeted that he wants the right people to be in charge of his team. So clearly he has a problem with Woody Johnson, and if these reports are true, I would have a problem with Woody Johnson too. So it looks like there's potentially going to be the Mets and the Jets both having new owners within the next few years.
When was the last time the Jets even made the Super Bowl, Mark?
I don't know. I mean, the Jets have struggled to have a good team. They had Mark Sanchez back in 2009 in Rex Ryan era, and they made it to the AFC Championship game. But besides that, they haven't had much success. So I don't think changing owners is the worst idea, but that all depends on if Woody Johnson will sell the team.
Well, you know, I think that Jamal Adams just completely hates the New York Jets organization as a whole.
I think he does too. Like earlier this year, he mentioned he shout out Bill Belichick and the Patriots for signing Cam Newton, which is questionable to say considering that the Patriots are the Jets' arch rival. And then he also told the Jets that he wants to be traded and says that he wants to go to the Cowboys. So, yeah. But the fact that he said that about the owner, I don't know if he's just saying that because he doesn't like the Jets right now or because he actually feels that Woody Johnson does have those attributes that are mentioned in the article, being racist and sexist, are true.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised of things that Woody Johnson says, but, you know, the Jets organization as a whole, both New York football teams, they need to find something in there to fix it up, especially, well, you know, it starts with ownership.
It really does.
That's my opinion about it. The same way of how people treat the New York Mets, and I'm a diehard Mets fan, people treat the New York Mets as a complete joke, and they start out with ownership and the Wilpons, and it starts from the top down. I don't mean to go here, but one way of how the Warriors organization has been pretty successful for the past few years is look at what Bob Myers has done with the front office going down to the players. Look at the New England Patriots too. Look at what they've done for many years.
I completely agree, Jair. And I think that only time will tell what's going to happen with the Jets. Dodgers. Like, I think the only way that he'll be forced to sell the team, Woody Johnson, is if there's a situation like Donald Sterling that happened with the Clippers where he's caught on audio actually saying stuff that was extremely racist. So the NBA was able to step in and force him to leave. So I feel like that would be the only case if for the Jets to be able to get a new owner, unless Woody Johnson decides he wants to sell the team, which only time will tell. But yeah, it's a crazy time, man. But I'm excited that sports are finally coming back. And I'm excited to watch these scrimmages today for the NBA. And obviously, tomorrow we got the Yankees Nationals opening night game between Gerrit Cole and Max Scherzer. I'm very excited. I know you are too, Jair.
Yeah. Also, one thing, Mark, I have to give a major shout out to all the players in Major League Baseball and all these other different sports, like players like DJ LeMahieu, Russell Westbrook, for like taking the right and for trying to take the right precautions, especially like having COVID and just not rushing back and just infecting everyone else with it.
Yeah, now that we're giving shout-outs, I want to give a shout-out to Tay on the Track for the beat. We love it. It's awesome. It's been killing it since we started this podcast. And, yeah.
Anyways, Mark, another good session. We're going to come back next week, and we could actually have some results for the first time, I feel.
Yep. Well, we're looking forward to talking to you guys next week. Don't forget to follow us on our social media handle at @EXSportsDrexel.
Yep. Anyways, Mark, thank you so much.
You too.
To listen to more Tripod Productions, go to thetriangle.org/podcasts.